Good to see each one of you here tonight. I just messed up the pianist. That was great. Let's all stand together. Turn to page 94. Good to have each one of you here. Page number 94 as we begin. Let's sing all verses. He loves me. Page number 94. Sing it out with me on that first verse. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? He loves me, He loves me, He loves me, this I know. He gave Himself to die for me because He loves me so. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. He loves me, He loves me, He loves me, this I know. He gave Himself to die for me because He loves me so. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. He loves me, He loves me, He loves me, this I know. He gave Himself to die for me because He loves me so. Thus might I hide my blushing face while His dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and bring my eyes to tears. He loves me, He loves me, He loves me, this I know. He gave Himself to die for me because He loves me so. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. He loves me, He loves me, He loves me, this I know. He gave Himself to die for me because He loves me so. Aren't you thankful He loves you tonight? Amen. Great start.
Well, sure glad to be back in the Lord's house tonight, and what a sweet time around the Lord's table last night, amen, and sure thankful He loves us tonight and gave Himself for us, and we know this, that's not the end of the story, amen. We know this, that, well, 3 days later, the tomb is empty, and looking forward to celebrating that this coming Sunday. And so certainly don't forget about that. If you have kids in Faith Baptist School, of course, they're out for Easter break. If you didn't know that, you do need to know that now. This coming Sunday is Easter Sunday. Be celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. And the choir is going to be doing a cantata. Looking forward to that. And really looking forward to just hoping and praying that the Lord will send us some visitors. And I know this, we're going to preach the gospel of Christ. Amen. And that's what it's all about. So, but sure glad you're here tonight. Going to be back in the pastoral epistles tonight and 1 Timothy. So let's pray tonight. Ask God's blessing on our services. I'm going to ask Brother David Griffin if you would pray for us tonight, brother.
Thank you.
You be seated tonight. Of course, as already mentioned, this coming Sunday is our Resurrection Sunday, the cantata, the choir doing that. Of course, that would be the last day of March as well, and so we jump right into the month of April, this coming Monday. Hard to believe, but we're already there, and I can't wait for that to get here, and also spring and summer, amen. And April the 5th, I wanted to mention this, which is on a Friday. We do have a teen activity April the 6th, which is on a Saturday, be our church-wide outreach. And then, of course, we have our large event April the 10th through the 14th, which is our missions conference. And do want to just mention some things there. Of course, our guest preacher is going to be Brother Terry Randolph, and then guest missionaries, the Steven Sandala family to the Czech Republic, Gus Ludke family to the Independent Baptist Builders, and then, of course, the Jack Parker family to Japan. And so Wednesday through Friday be services each night at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday, the times are still going to be the same, but the events are a little bit different this year, because normally we would go and do a men's prayer breakfast over at some kind of a buffet or something like that. But we're actually going to do a men's prayer breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning, but it's going to be here at the fellowship hall. Don't panic. There's going to be plenty of food to eat, all right, because, you know, it will be buffet style, I guess, if you want to say it like that, though I do hope we do kind of get to the place where we're close to running out, amen. But the ages for that are 10 and up, so we certainly want to see our young men as well as our older men to be at that. There's no cost for that. And then the ladies normally have a ladies' tea. They're actually going to have a ladies' luncheon, and that's going to be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Fronteras Mexican restaurant there in Gardner, which is just about five minutes or so down the road. And the ages for that is 10 and up. Now, the ladies, if you plan on going to that, ladies, you do need to sign up by April the 7th, and the sign-up sheet is out there in the outer foyer. And the cost for that is $10 per lady, so make sure that you're aware of that. And then, of course, as we get into that Sunday, it'll be our service times are going to be normal for the morning. And then in the evening, we will not have a Bible study. We'll just have our evening service that night. But sure looking forward to Brother Terry Randolph being here with us. And then, of course, we're going to be taking up our faith promise cards through the month of April and finishing up April the 28th. We did have a couple of sign-up sheets out there as well for the nursery workers, and thank you, ladies, for already filling that out. We also have another sign-up sheet out there for items that are needed, because as our guests get here on that Wednesday night, we want to feed them, and so we have the items necessary to provide that meal for them. And so if you could help us out with that, there's a sign-up sheet out there for that. Also on the outer table is a basket. We're having a gift card shower for Miss Madeline Joy Parker that actually was born Monday. And so praise the Lord for that. And I'm still waiting on my cigar. Amen. And I'm just kidding. All right. But praise the Lord, mom and baby are both home and healthy. And so that's a real blessing there. But there's a gift card. We're doing a gift card shower for them. Certainly want to be a blessing to them. And so that's going to be running until April the 14th. And then, of course, ladies, if you signed up to go to the ladies' retreat in April, April the 19th through the 20th, there at Riverside Baptist Church in St. Joseph, Missouri, make sure that you turn in your money for that as well. All right, let's go ahead and get our prayer list out tonight. And again, as already mentioned, praise the Lord, baby girl. Madeline Joy Parker was born Monday, and both are doing good and at home. Sure thankful for that. Do have a lot of folks on our prayer list tonight. Just wanted to mention some things, and then as well as folks that we can add on there tonight, different things. If you would, good to see Miss Marie Christian here tonight. Thankful for that, but do continue to pray for her with the procedure that she had done on her eye. Also, Gary Waters Sr., that's dealing with gout, was able to go home. Thankful for that. If you would pray for Randy Frazee, that is Brother Jim Wisdom's nephew, on the first column, just a little past halfway down. I was actually supposed to have a biopsy done Monday. They did do that, but they're really continuing to say that there's not much that they can do for him as he's dealing with cancer. And so if you would just pray for that situation. He does know the Lord as his Savior, and I'm thankful to hear that. Also, Miss Laura Stanfield, that just a few names down from Randy Frazee. That is Miss Georgie Raymer's sister, and she did have her procedure done Monday, dealing with her stem cells there at MD Anderson, and so she's a little sick today, but hoping to feel better tomorrow. But if you would just continue to pray for her and pray that this this clinical trial stuff that they're doing with her would actually have an effect on the cancer. And so pray, certainly make that a matter of prayer. Also, Brother Dick Webster had his surgery yesterday and is recovering. Also, if you would pray for Miss Sarah Griffin over in the other request. That's David and Sherry Griffin's daughter. She's having gallbladder surgery this Friday. Is that still on? And so pray for that. And then certainly pray for these families that are grieving. The Gifford family, Brother Gene Sexton's cousin that passed away. And then the Van Dam family. This is the family over in Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple that had the young man that committed suicide. If you would certainly pray for that mom and that family, as well as that church family. I know that they would appreciate that. I want to ask if you would add some things onto your prayer list tonight. If you would, I certainly covet your prayers for the Easter services Sunday morning. If you would, pray for that. I know that's a time where we have a lot of visitors and things like that. There's certainly a lot of pressure to preach a message, but the truth of the matter is, it's not the words I say that's going to change anybody's life. It's the Word of God, all right? And so just pray that certainly God would use me. I certainly want to be a help to people and to see people know Christ as their Savior. Also, if you would pray for our missions conference that is coming up. And I know this, that I know Brother Matt Whitney is sick, and I'll mention that in just a minute, but we were not far. I think we were only about $200 or $300 from making our goal for this cycle around. And so I'm pretty sure that we made our goal. And for last year, which was like $140,000+. And so praise the Lord for that. That's just a real blessing. But certainly pray as we, you know, we kind of circle the wagon, so to speak, and we have our missions conference, and we begin to pray and seek the Lord about what He would have us to do for Faith Promise missions in the next year and fiscal year, so to speak, however you want to put it. But I'm telling you, it's the most important business meeting a church can have. And that's what it's all about. If you would, certainly pray for those that have been sick. Brother Matt Whitney still dealing with a fever. I know Brother C.J. Reeves' family is still sick. Talked to him yesterday. Rachel and the kids have been sick. I know Brother Parker is here tonight but not feeling well. And so we've just kind of got that stuff that's been going around. And so certainly pray for that. And then also, if you would, add on there Miss Jenny Carpenter, our missionary to Ecuador. Got a text from her today, and she's actually in the hospital in Ecuador with pneumonia. And so she's trying to get some treatment for that, and then trying to get, the plan is to get released either tonight or tomorrow morning, and then catch a flight and get back to the States where she can go to the doctor here in the States and get the treatment that she needs. And so just, if you would pray for her, I know she would appreciate that. And told her I would mention that tonight in our prayer time. And so let's make sure to pray for Miss Jenny Carpenter. Anybody have a prayer request or anything tonight, Natalie? An unspoken. Yep, we have an unspoken for our family. And so if you could remember that in prayer. Okay, Brother Parker? Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Good. I meant to ask you about him. Good. Okay. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. So we can take Dale Carter off. All right. Anybody else tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer? Okay. Let's see. Yes. Okay. 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 All right. So she's in the second column, about 2/3 down, 3/4 of the way down. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good to hear. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's a little Maddie Owens, a little four-year-old. And we got these kids on here. And, man, I'm telling you, it breaks your heart, doesn't it? And pray for them and mamas and daddies that are going through this stuff as well with them. So, all right. Brother Griffin. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. Amen. Amen. He can't go anywhere. Amen. Okay. Amen. Okay, so that's Tyler. He's under our unsaved list, and that's Sarah's. Now, are they engaged? Aren't they? Or right? Okay, May the 4th. All right, they're probably not Star Wars fans, right? I'm sure. So let's pray for Tyler though. Let's pray for him. He needs the Lord. Amen. And so let's pray for that situation. Pray for David and Sherry. Lord would give them the wisdom that they need and the open doors that they need. One of those divine appointments, amen. That's what we need. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or anything like that? All right, Ms. Sherry. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Goodness. Okay. Okay. All right, so let's continue to pray for Carrie Sheely. And yeah, that's a miracle there, and we're still, it's a blessing, but still continue to pray for her, and maybe she can get her sight back. That'd be a real blessing. So, okay, man, let's come ahead tonight, and a lot of heavy hearts and burdens and different things, but God is faithful, amen. And just let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Brother John Ellis, would you pray for us tonight, brother?
Stand with me one last time tonight. Please turn to page 167. Page 167, Calvary covers it all. Let's sing all four verses tonight. Page 167. Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers the grace when I looked in the face of this Jesus, my crucified Lord. My redemption complete I then found at his feet, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. Amen. Great singing tonight. Let's remain standing. If you would, get your Bibles ready for the message tonight.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, Calvary does cover it all. Amen. And I'm glad for that. Tonight, let me also remind you of this. It doesn't just cover your past, amen. It covers your present and your future, amen. And it covers it all. And man, I'm telling you, I know this. I have a past, but I also didn't do so well yesterday, amen. But I'm glad Calvary covers that as well, amen. Aren't you tonight? And just thought I'd give you that little thought tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 tonight. 1 Timothy and chapter number 6, and look down with me, if you would, to verse number 17 tonight. So here is what the Bible says, and we're getting close now to finishing up the book of 1 Timothy. We've got one more message, and then we will move into the book of Titus. But I want you to look at this in verse 17. Because now Paul, writing Timothy, says this to Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. All right, and so that's what we're going to look at tonight. Now, if you remember, I do want to remind you of this. If you go back to verse number 6, the last two times we've been in this, it has centered on what I would call the formula for a life. All right, in verse number 6, where it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's the idea of godliness plus contentment, and the result of that is great gain with God. All right, and in fact, as you move past those verses, we saw this. We saw where they both dealt with, there was a paragraph that dealt with contentment and then godliness. But now we come to verse number 17, and really, we would immediately notice this, that temporal riches are once again the subject at hand, but the difference here is twofold. All right, and the first one is this, the audience now changes. Now it's not Timothy needs godliness and contentment in his life. Guess what? All of God's people need godliness and contentment in their life. So the audience changes, but the other thing is this, is that this is really not about contentment. You know what this is about? This is about what should follow being content. Stewardship. Stewardship. Your money needs to be under your control. Not you controlling it, or rather not it controlling you. And so we're going to look at this tonight and what I would call the charge to the rich. And I believe there's some very practical helps tonight on how to properly steward that which God has given us. Father, would you bless the preaching now in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you be seated tonight? Well, we got to go to the hospital yesterday and see little Madeline Joy, and sure brought back a lot of memories. And with our girls that God allowed us to have, and I was thinking about when our first one came along, and we got her home from the hospital, and like any parent, our goal was to get her to sleep through the night as soon as possible. Well, why? So that you could sleep through the night. And so, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it was about 4 months, right around in there, before it took Madison to begin to do so. But in that time frame, I found out how hardcore my wife is and how soft I was. All right, because this is what happened. Right around that 4 month mark, Madison would wake up and about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and start crying. And she didn't need anything. She didn't need to eat. Her diaper was all right because it'll hold 10 to 12 pounds. That's what it said on the box. All right. She wasn't, she wasn't hungry. What it was she just wanted to be held. And so she would start crying, and my wife would just be laying there in the bed, and I would be, I couldn't take it anymore, man. And so I'd go in there and I'd pick her up, take her out of the bed, and rock her until she went back to sleep. Sometimes I'd go back to sleep in the rocker, and sometimes I'd get up and go back to bed. And then we'd wake up the next morning, and I'd be looking at Natalie going, "What is your problem? How can you, you know, why didn't you get up?" And here's the thing. The reason she didn't was because baby girl needed to learn how to sleep through the night. And she was right. And so finally I got to where I could tough it out, and she learned how to sleep through the night. So this was the first time that I learned this, and I'll never forget it as a parent. Listen to this. You can either train your child or your child will train you. And it starts very early. Now, I know what you're thinking tonight. This free parental advice here seems to be a little off topic with our text tonight, except for this. Children aren't the only things that can take control of us and train us. Money can also do that, and material gain. And what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this. That's exactly what Paul is dealing with in our text. For those that are rich, they need to learn to keep money in its rightful place and to be a steward of it for the glory of Almighty God rather than their money having control of them. Now, as you and I dive into this tonight, I want to point out a couple of very key things that I immediately see. I want you to notice verse number 17 again, because it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." The first thing that I see tonight that I feel like we need to confront and deal with is this, is that we must remove the excuse that this is not dealing with us. You understand what I'm saying? Well, one of the proofs of that could certainly be this, the change of audience that has already been mentioned. See, no longer can we look at the book of 1 Timothy and look at the instruction that's been given and use the excuse that, well, I'm not in ministry, and Timothy's in ministry, and Paul's dealing with Timothy that's in ministry, so this has nothing to do with me. No, now it has everything to do with you. Because now Paul is telling Timothy, this is what you need to go and deal with within the church at Ephesus to the people of God, because this is not, listen, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's not just for the man of God and his family. That is for every child of God to grab a hold of and put to practice in their life. And that's what he begins to deal with in this text. But the other thing that we have to deal with right here is this, when he says, "Charge them that are rich in this world." And this is immediately what we do. Well, I'm not rich. So again, preacher, this doesn't have anything to do with me, when the truth of the matter is we are rich. And this has everything to do with us. See, here's the problem tonight is this, that we view ourselves and compare ourselves from an American point of view. However, you know, and that's how we determine our riches. But when you look at things in a global point of view, a global level, I'm telling you tonight, if you're in America, you are rich. You are very rich. Why do you think people are running across the border in Texas and New Mexico and in Arizona so that they can come into America? You know why? Because the poverty level here is on a whole different category than that of Mexico or El Salvador or whatever country you want to talk about in South America. Somebody say amen tonight. You understand what I'm saying? We are rich. The problem is we look at everything in America, and that's how we compare ourselves. No, look at yourself from a global standpoint tonight. Listen to these statistics. Almost half the world lives on $2.50 a day. $2.50 a day. At least 80% of humanity lives on less than $10 a day. Man, I could blow that at McDonald's. I mean, and that's sad to blow it at McDonald's, you know. You know why we think like that, though? Because we're rich. Listen to this. If you make a minimum of $12,000 to $15,000 a year, you are considered to be in the top 20% of the wealthiest in the world. $15,000 to $20,000 a year. And I get it tonight. We compare ourselves to people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, and we say this, we are not rich. But when we compare ourselves to the rest of the world, I'm just telling you tonight, you live in America, you be rich. You understand what I'm saying? I never forget this. About 3 or 4 years ago, it was right after COVID, because I remember the missions conference. We had Pastor Abel's in, and the first night it was just awesome and everybody was here. And then the next night, I mean, COVID broke out. And so it was like a ghost town for the next, you know, the rest of the missions conference. But I remember him telling a story one time about when him and Brother Carl Boonstra went over to India to be with a missionary that's over there that we support. I don't want to mention his name because of live stream, but he went over there. They have a Bible college where they train men and they send men out, and they're planting churches all throughout India. And I remember him telling this story. He said this. He was sitting in the room that day, and he was thinking about the message and the services that were coming that night and all the stuff, and was talking about how the people, they will come from miles around. They'll walk there. They'll take a bus to get there. You better preach for about an hour or 2 hours, or then people are going to be mad at you. Because when they come, they want to hear preaching. And I mean, listen, they come in and they sit on the floor. It's an open air, no air conditioning, no none of that stuff. I'm serious. And this is what he was, and he was sitting there, and he said, and he was looking out his window, and there was some guys down there, and they were pumping water out of a well, and they were washing their shirts, and he didn't know what they were doing. He just thought they were doing something, you know. So he walked down there and started talking to him, and it turns out it was guys in their Bible college, and they had one dress shirt apiece, and they were washing them to get ready for the service that night. Now go look in your closet. I'm just telling you tonight, we're rich, folks. Listen, I love you tonight, but man, are we dead in here or what? Come on, I'm just telling you, we are rich tonight. We cannot look at this passage and go, well, this doesn't have to do with me. No, it has everything to do with us tonight. I'm telling you, we are rich. And here's the other thing tonight. The other thing to bring out is this, is that this passage also brings clarity to God's view of money and riches. Look at verse 17 again. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now watch this right here. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. See, it's not money that is evil in and of itself. It is exactly, listen, money is an inanimate object. It is exactly what he said in verse 10. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's man's lust for it that is evil. It's his love for it that is evil. And by the way, be careful that you take verse 17 out of its context and begin to justify living for money instead of God. That's not what it's saying right here. It's saying this, that God's given you those things, and money is simply a tool that needs to be stewarded properly so that it can be used for the glory of Almighty God. You understand? Listen to me tonight. Selling all that you have and making yourself destitute and poor and shaving your head and going in live in a cave somewhere, that doesn't make you right with God. But at the same time, neither does living for the temporal things of this world. You see, there's balance here. Yes, yes, tonight, God's people ought to work hard. I believe that. I'm just saying God's people ought to be the hardest workers on the job. And with that, you will find this. You're going to be rewarded with temporal things and money, because that is what is available in our culture. But the idea is to say this, don't let it control you. You control it. And that's ultimately what our text is helping us with tonight. So let me be clear on this tonight. This has to do with us. I said this has to do with us tonight. Every one of us tonight, it has to do with us. And here's the other thing. God's not totally against money.
All right? He's just against it controlling us and becoming an idol that we live for in our life. So how do we take control? And then we become the faithful stewards that God has called us to be in our lives. Well, that's what he begins to help us with here. Look at verse number 17 again, and you'll find the first instruction. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And he's the one that gives us those things. You want to know how to control yourself tonight? Trust God. I mean, that's ultimately what he's saying. The idea here is this, is that for all of God's people, not just those in ministry, to follow the formula given in verse number 6, godliness plus contentment equals great gain. And what's good for the pastor and his family is good for every child of God. It's good for all of God's people to be content and to keep Christ preeminent in their life. And I want you to think about this. It's God that allowed you and I to be born in America or to come to America. It's God that's allowed us to be here tonight. It's God that has given us our jobs. It's God that's given us our homes. It's God that's given us our wealth. And here's the thing. Rather than those things becoming our God, we're to turn around and use those things to honor our God, the one that gave it all to us and has so graciously blessed us. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. American Christianity's got this backwards. If you don't think we got it backwards, then why do you think it is some people refuse to tithe and give to missions? I ain't tithing. I ain't giving to no mission. All that conference is a bunch of people begging for money. Yep, maybe you got your God in the wrong place there, Jack. Maybe money's your God. That's your attitude. Why do you think most church arguments are over the topic of money? Well, I just can't believe we'd spend that much money on a new piano. Well, what, you want us to get a Bobo one and get us a little, let's get us a little keyboard. We get the little smash the button. No, I think if we can do something like that, I think we ought to honor God and do the very best. But see, that's, you know, why are we arguing over that? Why shouldn't we be talking about how come people aren't coming to the altar anymore? How come people ain't on fire for God anymore? How come people ain't saying amen anymore? How come people ain't praying anymore? Why aren't those the things we're discussing? Instead, we're arguing about money and how much something costs. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be poor stewards, but I'm just saying we've just gotten things out of balance. What do you think's the leading cause of most marital problems? It's money. What do you think people in this nation base their vote on? It's not morality. It's money. Who's going to give me the most money? Who's going to hand me the most money? Who's going to pay off my student debt? Oh, son, now we're meddling. But last time I checked, it wasn't money that exalted a nation. It was righteousness that exalts a nation. You understand what I'm saying? See, I'm just telling you. See, the truth is money has become a god to many. And we as believers in here tonight, we can be influenced by those attitudes of the world if we're not careful. But here we are instructed to trust God. Trust God. Keep your faith in God. Walk with God, the God who gave us all these things in the first place. And Paul warns us of what can happen in this verse if we don't trust God. Look at what he says. He says this. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Why does he say that? Because when a person isn't trusting God, the next thing he's going to do and money becomes his God is he's going to get high-minded. He's going to get high-minded towards God. My pastor used to tell this story when we were at Berean Baptist Church, and he had took his first pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Knob Noster, Missouri, right outside of Whiteman Air Force Base there, and said he got there, and I guess it was about 15, 20 people or whatever, and he got up, started preaching and giving invitation, and all of a sudden people started coming and complaining about giving an invitation. Come to find out, they were Calvinists. And so here's what he did. He just kept on preaching and giving an invitation. He said this, I whittled her down to about 8. And then God started doing a work. But it took a little while. And in between that little while, there was a lot of things that, you know, bills started piling up and stuff like that. And so there was this family that visited the church one Sunday morning, and they seemed to be kind of well-to-do, started talking with them. Turned out he was kind of a higher-ranking officer there out of Whiteman. And man, just what a blessing. They came. Then they came back the next Sunday. Then they came back the next Sunday. And then they came back. And then finally they came up and they said, hey, we'd like to take you and your family out to eat for lunch one day and maybe talk to you about joining the church. And he said, that's great. And so they're sitting there at the dinner table and at the Chinese buffet and the one restaurant that I think that they had at the time in Knob Noster. And they're sitting there talking about, you know, and the guy had a Lutheran background and she had a Methodist background. And you know, they both had, you know, fairly, you know, decent testimonies of salvation, but neither one of them had scriptural baptism. And so they just said, well, you know, we just wanted to talk to you and we wanted to join the church. And he said, well, that's fine, but you're going to have to get, you know, baptized first. And the guy looked at him and he said this. He said, I don't think you understand. We want to join the church. And I give a lot of money. And I don't want to get baptized. And I love what my pastor said. I don't think you understand. This ain't your church. We're not joining you. Everybody, you understand what I'm saying? Now, why do you think he said that? Because that was his God. That's pretty arrogant. Let me help you with this tonight. This is not your church. This is not my church. This is his church. But let me help you with this tonight. I don't work for you. I don't preach for you. I serve him. No, don't get me wrong. I serve him by serving you, but I'm telling you, he's the one that I report to, not you. And so I'm just telling you tonight, listen to me, it doesn't matter how much money you got, how much money you give, whatever the case may be, I'm just telling you tonight, you're not in the position to be going around demanding things. Just like I'm not. This is not your church. And we better be careful about becoming high-minded towards God and things like that. Man, I'm telling you, we're meddling tonight now, see, and people are getting a little nervous out there, but you understand what I'm saying? This is not how this thing works. Be careful that you do not become high-minded towards the things of God because of your money, but rather honor God by doing what He says to do with your money. But here's the other thing that I thought about. Men aren't just high-minded towards God. The other thing is this. When men have money, they become high-minded towards other men. James said this in James chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. He said, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. I love that phrase right there. Respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, ooh, and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, gay isn't happy, all right, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there. He can't even sit down. Or he says this, or sit here under my footstool. What do you mean? Get down on your hands and knees so I can sit down and prop my feet up? Man, this is good preaching right here. Hey, man. Some of you don't even need that and you're already asleep. Amen. Are not ye then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? You know, riches can cause us to be high-minded. Respecter of persons towards others. And we need to be careful. Listen, we need to show kindness and respect towards others, whether they are a CEO of a company or they sweep the floors for the company. It doesn't matter. And oftentimes, people who are lost and bound in sin, they are struggling financially because of that sin. And we need to be careful that we do not look down our noses. Getting quiet in here. I think, listen, because I'm telling you tonight, and I want you to listen to me, because had it not been for the grace of God, that's where we'd be tonight. And we need to keep that in mind, friend. And here's the other thing that he warns of. Look at what he says. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Listen to this. Nor trust in uncertain riches. You know what he's saying here? He's saying this. Riches are uncertain. They just are. They're here today, but they may not be here tomorrow. I mean, something could happen. Things could take place. And listen, and when we have our trust in our riches, I'm telling you, you are setting yourself up for great disappointment. Job lost all that he had in one night. Yet Job still responded, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But here's why. Because Job had God first in his life. But this is typically not the response of believers today when they experience some financial setback of some kind. I lost my job, or something else happens, or whatever the case may be. You know what the next step is? The next step is this: quit on God. And you know why? Because He was never really God in the first place of your life. Your faith was really, your trust was in your riches and your job and your financial status instead of God. And I listen again, and I do want to be mindful of this tonight. There's nothing wrong with having a good career. There's nothing wrong with having a good paying job. There's nothing wrong if God allows you to purchase a home or vehicle or whatever the case may be. But I'm just telling you tonight, if we lose those things, or we're in a position to have to sell all those things, listen to me tonight, God is still God. And God is still on the throne. So just trust God and keep Him preeminent tonight. But look at the next thing, because here's the next thing that He says. So number one is to trust God. Make Him preeminent in your life and keep Him there. That's how you steward what God gives you. But then in verse number 18, it becomes very, very practical. I mean, it's almost pattern-like. He deals with the heart, doesn't He? Make sure you're in love with Him and Him alone first. But then He says this, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So here's what He says. Make sure your heart's right with God. Trust Him and Him alone. And then turn around and do this. Be rich in good works. Be rich in good works. Instead of letting money control you, trust God and be in control of your money. Use it for the glory of Almighty God who gave it to you in the first place. Be a faithful steward over your money rather than your money over you. Well, how do you do that, preacher? Well, here's how. Be ready to give, he says. That they do good works and that they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. To give. The idea of stewardship is to understand that you don't own it. You just manage it. You don't own it. Well, I got my job and I got my money. That's not really all. That's none of that's yours. It's His. And He gave it to you. Everything belongs to God, the Bible says. And that includes our money, our jobs, everything. And as stewards, our money can be used to meet different needs in the lives of others through giving. Do you realize tonight that tithing, doing what God said to do in His Word, and yes, tithing is still New Testament, and you're still supposed to do it in obedience to God. Do you realize this tonight? That pays for the lights that we get to enjoy tonight. That pays for the heating and the air conditioning, which you have to run both this time of the year. Pays for all of that. It takes care of everything. It keeps up the grounds. It takes care of the pastor and his family, the staff and their families. That, listen, that's the reality that we live in today. But that's also Bible. Even as we've seen already in 1 Timothy. Do you know this? Faith Promise Missions Giving takes care of missionary families' needs. I'm not going to go too deep into this tonight because we're getting to the place where we're going to preach our Faith Promise Missions message here pretty soon. But I'm just telling you, it allows us to be a blessing and reap eternal fruit in other ministries besides this one. Setting up fruit that that abounds to our account tonight. What a blessing that is. Listen, we even get to send out missionaries. Amen. Pretty awesome. In fact, I think maybe we ought to help the one we got over in Ecuador get back home. Why don't we do $1,000 to help her? We just take a vote right in the middle of the message. How about that? That's the first time I've ever done that. It's about time I've done something new tonight. All right, everybody good with that? Lift up with your right hand, give out with a hearty amen. See, you can say amen in church. Look at that. Isn't it a blessing, though, you get to be able to do stuff like that? Amen. Special offerings can be given to help with special projects, like a parking lot without holes in it. Let me give you some things tonight to consider. Consider these. Giving to meet the needs of others is a manifestation of our faith. James 2, 15 through 17 says this. I love the book of James. Brother Gray used to say this. James wouldn't be allowed to preach in most Baptist churches today. But James says this in verse 15 through 17. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. A stingy faith is a dead faith. Those who are rich need to understand that they could very well be the answer to someone else's need and someone else's prayer. How silly to know that someone is praying for a need to be met, you have the ability to meet it, but you refuse to do because you're greedy. Exercise your faith in God by realizing that's the reason why God gave you what He gave you. It's so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. And pass it along. Here's something else. You ever think about this? Giving is a spiritual gift. Why don't you hold your place there in 1 Timothy, and I want to take time here. Go to Romans in chapter number 12 tonight. Because see, this is what American Christianity is all caught up with. It's all caught up in this rolling your eyes in the back of your head and flopping around like a fish and speaking some gibberish that nobody understands. You know, the charismatics call it tongues, but in the Bible, it's not anything like that. That's a bunch of devilish junk that's not of the Holy Ghost. But that's the gift of the Spirit that they're all caught up with. You want to know what the real gifts of the Spirit are? It's in Romans chapter 12 in verses 6 through 8. Here's the real gifts of the Spirit. Those other things that he deals with in 1 Corinthians, those are all temporal. Look at Romans 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. You know what that's called? That's called preaching. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. That's serving one another. Here's another one. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. That's encouraging. Look at this one. He that giveth. There it is. Let him do it with simplicity. Isn't that amazing? Spiritual gift. Listen. For some believers, the giving of money, time, and talents is a spiritual gift. Listen to me. Don't quench the Spirit. When He burdens you to give in some capacity. And here, this is the thing we got to get it through our head. If you ever give, to be a blessing to somebody, give it anonymously or something like that. Do you not realize how I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what He said when He said, truly, it is blessed to give. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is so much fun. I love getting about 3 or 4 sacks of groceries, and you know, and that's the only time it's okay to ding dong ditch somebody, ring their bell and run. You got a sack of groceries, you want to be a blessing to a family in the church that's hurting or burdening. Drop a gift card in somebody's. Because, you know, we Baptists, we sit in the same spot almost every time. And somebody comes in and sets their stuff down and walks out. And you just go by there and drop a gift card off. And nobody, and they come back. What is that? Did you do that? Did you? And if the husband's smart, he'll take credit for it. But do you not realize how much fun it is to do stuff like that? It's such a blessing. Look at the last thing in verse number 8. He says this, willing to communicate. You know what he means by this? He means this, give much. The word communicate literally means this, to be liberal. Listen to this. The only thing God ever says we ought to be liberal about is our giving. Amen. That'll preach. Somebody can quote me on that one on Facebook. I don't know. None of this stuff's in my notes, but it's good. In fact, the more you give and realize your place as a steward of what God has given you, what I have found is this, is the more He gives you to give out. The whole point of this is to understand money's place in our life. Folks, it's not an idol to be lived for. It's a tool that can be used to further the gospel, express our faith, help out those around us, and ultimately bring glory to our God. Now let me give you the last thing and I'm done. Look at verse number 19. He says, lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know what he's saying right here? Here's what he's saying. Prepare for eternity. Keep eternity in your mind. You and I think, understand this tonight. There's no way we can buy our way into heaven. Nor can we work our way into heaven. Heaven is gained by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we understand that's not what he means right there when he says that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's not the idea here. Rather, it's the idea of preparing for eternity in the sense of eternal rewards. Because one of the greatest temptations for those who are rich is to live for the now. And to live for those things which are temporal. That's why Jesus gave the parable in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 12. And I don't have time to go there and read that. But you understand the parable of the rich farmer is that the farmer spent a vast amount of his time growing his crops and working hard and all of that. And when the harvest came in, he had much. And so he said, I'm going to build bigger barns and bigger, places to store all of my crops. And then that's when God shows up that night and says, this, thou fool. And the reason God calls him a fool is not because he was a hard worker. It was because he was so focused on that he never dealt with his soul. You understand tonight? The rich man is in hell in Luke chapter 16. And it's not because he was rich. It was because he lived for his riches and he never dealt with his soul. And so Jesus warned on multiple occasions of that throughout his ministry. And that's still true today. That men are living for the temporal things of this world and they've never dealt with their soul and they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the idea is to understand tonight that if the lost can make this mistake, I'm telling you tonight, so too can the saved. And we take the temporal that we have, we're to take the temporal that we have and we're to use it to invest in the eternal that God has given to us, because here's the thing. When it's all said and done, all this stuff's going to be gone. Everything. The clothes, the money, the stuff. It's all going to be burned up. And it's all going to be done away with. But I'm telling you, that which is eternal is going to last forever. And we're to have that view and understanding in our minds. Think of the souls that you could meet in heaven because you gave financially to missions. Or church planting. Think of those you could help spiritually because you keep the lights on here at Faith Baptist Church. So that we can meet together, or you be a blessing to a family in need. The list could really go on and on. See, the idea tonight is to get us to understand, to warn us tonight that riches can be a great hindrance for God's people, but if we'll put God in His rightful place in our lives, and we turn around and be the steward of those riches that He's called us to be, the truth of the matter is it can be a great tool that can be used for His glory and His honor. I think really the question tonight is based on the charge, but it's kind of this. Does money have control of you, or do you have control of it? Because ultimately, that's what's going to determine whether it's hindering your life or helping. Let's all stand tonight.